Jesus, we praise you and thank you. We do honor you. We honor you every day of our lives. But on this day, we're looking forward and just honoring you for becoming flesh, for lowering yourself to become a man and live in this life, to live amongst us, and to become that perfect sacrifice for us. We praise you and thank you. We just rejoice in you. It's beyond our imagination that you, the creator of all things, would become a man like us and dwell in this flesh so that you could become that sacrifice. It's a demonstration of the depth of your love for us, and we don't take it for granted. We praise you and thank you and say and proclaim to you, we love you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You be glorified. In this time, in this place, in our lives, you be glorified today and every day. It's in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You guys can be seated this morning. Well, I want to start off by looking at the Christmas story that we get from the book of Luke. So we're going to read Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20, and I'm going to borrow your glasses. So Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." For it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all of those who heard it marveled at these things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. So what is the Christmas season for us? For most of us, the Christmas season, you know, we get into the feel of the Christmas season. Christmas songs get us into that Christmas. Maybe it's decorating the Christmas tree. It's one of the signs of Christmas for us. Maybe it's the massive crowds that are all the stores and shops. Maybe it's the illuminated houses throughout our neighborhood. Maybe it's the nativity scenes that we see as we drive past people's houses. The smell of Christmas baking, that's a good one. Christmas cards that we get in the mail. These are all signs to us of the Christmas season and of Christmas itself. But of course, the true sign of Christmas is God becoming flesh, coming to live with us, to become that perfect and ultimate sacrifice for the sins of man. The sign of Christmas certainly must be that image of the baby laying in the manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. That's the sign of Christmas. "This shall be a sign unto you." The sign was the baby in that manger. The sign was the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. Now, we understand that that was a sign that was given to the shepherds because the shepherds had been told to go find the Savior. But let's not stop our search for that sign unto us. Let's not stop our search right there, because there are so many things in the Bible. The Word gives us so many different illustrations that help us to understand and see that sign unto us. Last week when I was reading this story from Luke, that verse, and really that phrase from that verse, jumped out at me. "This shall be a sign unto you." And I wondered, is that spoken anywhere else in the Bible? And if so, Can I learn more from those other examples? Can I learn more about what that sign is, that sign pointing to Jesus? That sign pointing to Jesus coming from the spiritual realm into this natural realm, becoming flesh, becoming a man? Well, I'm going to show you that there is other places in the Bible that show us that. But first, let's understand and let's define what a sign is. What does it mean, a sign? In the Greek, a sign means a mark, a token. It means a miracle that has a spiritual end and purpose. And I love this definition. In the Strong's, it says, it is the finger mark of God, valuable not so much for what it is as for what it indicates about the grace and the power of the doer. Now, perhaps the best demonstration of that definition of signs comes to us in the very last verse of the Gospel of Mark. So let's look at that. And then we're going to remember this, because we're going to come back to this. In Mark chapter 16, verse number 20, "And they went out and they preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs." Amen. This is what signs are. And remember this, because we're going to come back to it. But let's right now, let's look together and let's see where else in the Bible that we see that phrase that says, "This shall be a sign unto you." Where else do we see that in the Bible? And when we see that where it says, "This shall be a sign unto you," where does that sign point us to regarding Jesus? Well, this is probably the only place that you're going to be on a Christmas service going back to the book of Exodus. But let's look in the book of Exodus, because that's the first place that we see that phrase, "This shall be a sign unto you." Let's read Exodus chapter 3, verses 10 through 15. "Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" So he said, "I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. For when you brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." Then Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and I say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.' Moreover, God said to Moses, 'Thus shall you say to the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations.'" So you're saying to yourself, okay, well, that's a great verse, section of verses, but what does that have to do with Christmas? Well, again, remember, we saw there in verse number 12, it said, "This shall be a sign unto you." So this is the story of Moses' encounter with God at the burning bush. And it's in verse 12 that we see that phrase that says, "This shall be a sign unto you." The sign, what was the sign? The sign was Moses serving God on the mountain. So Moses is serving God on the mountain after God has delivered his people, the Israelites, out of the bondage of slavery in Egypt. So the sign is Moses serving on the mountain. What is it that happened there on the mountain? Moses was serving the Lord on the mountain. Well, in the Greek, "serve" there actually means to worship or worshiping. So after God had delivered his people, after God had delivered Israel from bondage of slavery out of Egypt, there is Moses serving God on that mountain. Moses is serving God on Mount Sinai, and it's there on that mountain that Moses meets with God. And it's there on that mountain that Moses receives the word of God in the form of the Ten Commandments. So stay with me. This all does tie into Christmas. Trust me. We're going to be in some other places that seem very un-Christmas-like, but it all ties together because "this shall be a sign unto you." The sign of Exodus chapter 3 is pointing the Israelites, even in the generation of Moses, is pointing the Israelites forward to the time of Jesus and Jesus at his birth. Just the same, no different than the sign to the shepherds was pointing the shepherds to Jesus through the baby in swaddling clothes. Look at the correlations that we see between this shall be a sign unto you from Moses to this shall be a sign unto you from the shepherds. On the mountain, God identifies himself as I am. Jesus, we know, remember, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus was arrested, he identifies himself as I am. So this sign on the mountain is pointing to Jesus. Also consider this. God had just delivered his people, the Israelites, out of the bondage of slavery in Egypt. That's pointing towards Jesus, because Jesus is the one who would bring us out of the bondage of sin. These things point to Jesus. But now, here's how these things all tie together and point to Jesus at his birth. It's all through worship. Remember, the actual sign that God said, when he said to Moses, this shall be a sign unto you, the sign was Moses worshiping on the mountain. So, there's Moses worshiping on the mountain. Well, likewise, in the story we just read in Luke, the angels of the Lord, in fact, all of heaven is praising and worshiping Jesus. Moses is there on the mountain. Moses is worshiping God. And as Moses is worshiping God, he gets the Ten Commandments. That was the word of God at that time. At the birth of Jesus, the world itself gets the word in the flesh, in Jesus Christ. So even in the time of Moses, we see that God, when he is saying, this shall be a sign unto you, it's pointing ahead towards the birth of Jesus. God, from the time, God gave signs that point to Jesus, that point to Jesus himself. From the time of the fall onward, he gives signs pointing to Jesus. But when God, speaking to his people, says, this is a sign unto you, it is always a sign pointing to the birth of Jesus. It's pointing to God becoming, God himself becoming flesh, becoming a man. Here's the next time we see that same phrase. This shall be a sign unto you. It's only five chapters later. Go to Exodus chapter 8. We're going to look at verses 22 and 23. When people say, what was the Christmas message about at City on the Hill? That was about Exodus. Exodus chapter 8, verses 22 and 23. And in that day, I will set apart the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell. No swarm of flies shall be there, in order that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the land. I will make a difference between my people and your people. Tomorrow, this shall be the sign. God is saying, I will make a difference between my people and your people. This shall be a sign. In this chapter, all of Egypt is enduring the plagues of Pharaoh, the plagues of God, because Pharaoh will not release God's people. And in these verses we just read, God is speaking through Moses, and he's speaking about the fourth plague. And what God is saying to Egypt is, and to Pharaoh, God is saying, it is by my hand, it's by my hand, I, God, my hand is bringing this plague upon you, Egypt. But my hand will also supernaturally protect my people in Goshen. They will be protected from that plague. God is saying that he will differentiate, and he is differentiating between the Egyptians and between the Israelites. God is saying that my hand of favor and blessing and care is upon my people. This is a sign to Pharaoh, but it's also a reminder to you and I that you and I in Jesus Christ, we walk in his blessing. We walk in his favor all the time. Now, we're going to come back to Exodus in just a second, but I want us to be clear on this. For all of those of us who have accepted the sacrificial work of Jesus Christ unto salvation, we are separated from the world. So we walk in his blessing. We walk in his favor. We walk with his hand of love and blessing upon us. We are separated from the world. We are not tied. We are not bound to the things of the world. But instead, We have his promises. And we have the power in Jesus' name to walk into all of those promises that he has for us. You see, this sign in Exodus, this sign is pointing to the birth of Jesus Christ. Because this is the same, think about it, this is the same principle and the same truth that the angels spoke to the shepherds that night in Bethlehem. Let's look at Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. But I want to show it to you from the Amplified Bible. So Luke 2, 13 and 14. Then suddenly there was with the angel an army of troops of heaven, a heavenly knighthood, that's cool, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace among men with whom? Who? With whom he is well pleased. Men of goodwill, of his favor. The peace of God, God's peace, his goodwill, his favor, it's not just for all men. Contrary to what the Christmas cards will tell you. You know, during the Christmas season, we see the world saying this kind of phraseology all the time, trying to tie it somehow to the Bible. We always see peace on earth, goodwill to men. No, God differentiates. We are the ones that walk God's peace, God's goodwill, God's favor. This is for, who's it for? It's for those upon whom he is well pleased. This is your blessing as having a relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ. It is for you. It's not for all men. God differentiates. And so we should enjoy. We should stand on. We should be living in that power, that favor, that victory, that deliverance that is ours at all times. His hand of favor, his hand of blessing, his hand of deliverance are upon his people. And this was a sign pointing to the birth of Jesus even during the time of Pharaoh. This shall be a sign unto you. There's a third place in the Old Testament where we see that same phrase. This shall be a sign to you. We find that in 1 Samuel. Now this one's going to sound really un-Christmas-like, but stay with me. So 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 34 and 35. Everybody still with me? Tracking with me? Nobody's tracking with me? I'm preaching by myself. Charles is with me. All right. Now this shall be a sign to you. It's pretty clear cut. This shall be a sign to you that will come upon your two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas. In one day they shall both die. That's really Christmas cheer, isn't it? Both of them. Then I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who shall do according to what is in my heart and in my mind. And I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before my anointed forever. Now this is part of the prophecy that's coming against the house of Eli. Because Eli's two unfaithful sons were both priests. And they're about to be removed. And it is their removal and their replacement that is the sign that is going to be a sign unto you. It's a sign that God is about to raise up his own faithful priest who would be a priest unto the Lord. Now, this is clearly talking about Samuel because Samuel is going to become the priest. But it's also a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ, who is our high priest. So look at this in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. This is pointing. This shall be a sign unto you. It's pointing to the birth of Jesus, and it's pointing to who he's going to be. Now, we'll see how it points to the birth in just a second. But understand this. The role of the priest was to be the representative between the people and God. The priests are the ones. The priests would bring the sacrifice into the temple. And the priest would make the offering on behalf of the people before the Lord. That is exactly what Jesus did. Jesus had to become flesh so that he could be that perfect sacrifice for us. And that's what he did. Now, here's how this verse from 1 Samuel chapter 2, here's how this points us towards Jesus at his birth. Many scholars believe that Jesus' birth was actually around or on the Day of Atonement. Now, Bethlehem, those of you going to Israel, you're going to see Bethlehem is really close to Jerusalem. So if Jesus' birth was actually on or around the Day of Atonement, this could mean that those shepherds that were in the field that the angel of the Lord came and spoke to, those could be temple shepherds. That means these are shepherds that are tending the temple sheep. These are the ones who are taking care of those unblemished sheep that are going to be used as sin sacrifices at the temple. That's an amazing revelation. Now think about this. That sign from 1 Samuel chapter 2. And the sign, again, remember, the sign was the removal of the unfaithful priests to be replaced by the faithful priest of God. That is pointing us to Jesus, who is going to become our, and is now, our high priest. And it also points to the birth of Jesus, because think about this. Just picture this. If these are the temple shepherds, who better to be going and to worship and glorify the perfect, unblemished sacrifice lamb? Who better to do that than the shepherds who are in charge of the unblemished sheep for temple sacrifice? And that's just a beautiful picture. So we see Jesus as both the sacrifice lamb as well as the high priest who is going to make atonement on behalf of his people. So there's two other places in the Old Testament that also talk about or use that statement, "This shall be a sign unto you." But in both of those places, God is not talking to his people. In both those other instances, it's a sign that is to other nations who have already rejected God. Anytime you see God speaking to his people and saying, "This shall be a sign unto you," it is pointing to the birth of Jesus. It's pointing to God becoming flesh. It's pointing to the birth of Jesus so that God could become that perfect, perfect sacrifice lamb for you and I. Now think about this for a second. Consider this. At his birth, Jesus was just beginning his life in this flesh. But we're celebrating Christmas. We're celebrating his birth today on the other end of his life. We're celebrating his birth after his sacrifice, after his resurrection, after his ascension in victory. So we'll celebrate it from the other side, and that's going to be imperative. You'll see in just a second. There are still signs. This is important. There are still signs that are relevant today. There are still signs that point to Jesus today. But those signs are given today through us. Those signs come through us who are the believers, the followers of Jesus Christ, his new covenant believers, born again children of God. That's who these come from. So remember that fact. I'm giving you a lot of things to remember. It's all going to come together at the end. Remember, those signs for today come through us. Now let's talk about the sign that the shepherds saw. So the sign the shepherds saw that night in Bethlehem at the birth of Jesus, the sign that they saw was a baby wrapped in swaddling cloth. If you read that verse in the New King James, it actually says swaddling cloth, not the more familiar swaddling clothes that we tend to look at. And that really makes sense. Because in the Greek, swaddling clothes actually means, when those were put together, it actually means strips of material. Jesus wasn't wrapped up in a blanket or something like that. He was wrapped up in strips of material. I mean, picture it this way. Picture it like somebody who's got bandages wrapped all around them. That's the way Jesus, the baby Jesus, was. So on that night, that sign to the shepherds on that night, what they saw when they found Jesus, they saw a little baby wrapped in strips of cloth. Now when I read that, that brought my mind right to this image. And again, this is not going to sound very Christmas-like, but stay with me. That brought me right to the image of the resurrection of Lazarus. Let's read that. From the Amplified Bible in John chapter 11, verse number 44. And out walked the man who had been dead, his hands and feet wrapped in burial clothes, linen strips, and with a burial napkin bound around his face. Jesus said to them, "Free him of the burial wrappings and let him go." At Lazarus' resurrection, he had to have those burial clothes, those strips of linen that were wrapped around him, removed. Those strips, which represent the bondage of this carnal life, those strips, they had to be removed. Otherwise, he would continue to be bound up. He would continue to be bound and couldn't move forward. Listen, just so that we remember, we have gone from death to life in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, we are not bound by anything in the world, nothing in the physical realm. But the baby Jesus, wrapped in swaddling cloth, the baby Jesus, he was wrapped in that which represents the bondage of living in this life. And consider this. In the Greek, the word swaddling by itself, the word swaddling means to rend or tear. So his little body was wrapped up in cloth that had been stripped, that had been rended, that had been torn. How perfect an image is that? Because that same body would later be rent and torn for us at his scourging. The stripes that he would bear for our sins. That's the picture of the swaddling clothes. When the shepherds, the sign to the shepherds was this baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. This was the sign to them that they had found the sacrifice lamb, the perfect sacrifice lamb. This shall be a sign unto you. Now there's still signs, like I said. There are still signs today that draw men to Jesus. This shall be a sign unto you. But you know what? It's not going to be the manger scene that is out in your front yard for Christmas. Your illuminated plastic Jesus is not going to cause people to search for Jesus like it did for the shepherds. The signs that draw men to Jesus today are the signs that result from you and I walking in Jesus. The signs that draw men to Jesus today are the signs that come from you and I walking in His power and walking in His authority. And remember, we started this morning by looking at the definition of signs. And signs in part meant the finger marks of God pointing to the grace and the power of Jesus Christ. I told you to remember Mark chapter 16. I want to read that verse 20, but let's read verses 15 through 20, the verses that lead up to it. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 20. And he said unto them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes in and is baptized will be saved, and he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." This will be a sign. These are the signs of today. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, and he sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out and they preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. When we stand on the Word of God and we speak the Word of God in faith, when we do that, we are bringing the greater realities of the spiritual realm into this natural realm. We're bringing those greater realities, and those greater realities, when we speak the Word of God in faith, those greater realities will displace the lesser realities of this world, this natural world that we live in. These things that we see, it feels like it's the only truth. The greater truth is the truths that are already established for us in the spiritual realm. And the signs that will be unto others is when we are walking in that power and the authority of Jesus Christ. And people are seeing in our lives, and as we pray for them, when they see those signs and wonders, those are the signs that point them to Jesus Christ. This is the sign unto them. Just as in all those Old Testament examples that we've already looked at today, just as in all of those that pointed to Jesus Christ, the signs and the wonders that follow us, those become the, this shall be a sign unto you, to your family, and to your friends, and to people who are watching you. Is there a greater gift that you could give to Christmas than signs that are pointing others to Jesus? Let's live our lives powerfully as victorious overcomers in Jesus Christ so that the world can see and the world watches and sees the signs and wonders following us and those signs and wonders which point our loved ones, point them to their Savior. This shall be the sign unto you. The signs and wonders following us, this is the sign. This is the sign of Christmas. Amen. Jesus, we thank you and praise you for your word. We thank you that you always show us, you always point us right back to you. And it's our desire that we live our lives so that in our lives, people see you witnessed and demonstrated, and it is signs unto them that point them to you. We praise you and thank you for that. It's in your name, Jesus. Amen. You know, since we were talking about, and since we have that picture of Jesus as that baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, and we get that picture of those swaddling clothes being strips of cloth that are rent and torn, and that's the image that we then see of that same, that precious little body. When he grows up, that same body is going to be rent and torn. It's a sign pointing to what he's going to become and what he's going to do for us. And his body was broken for us. And so even at Christmas, I think it's an appropriate time for us to have communion. Because we're going to partake in the cup and partake in the blood. Or partake in the cup and partake in the bread. That cup represents the blood of Jesus that was shed for us. And it's because of that shed blood that gives us the relationship with God the Father. And because we have that relationship, all of those promises we talked about, all of those promises are ours. And then the bread, it is his body broken for us. His body broken for us. Think about those strips of cloth, that swaddling clothes. As we partake in the bread, it's his body. It means it's him. We are eating Jesus. We're eating the word. That's Jesus and his promises. We're eating his promises, his word. We're taking his promises and consuming them. His promises, we're taking them in ourselves. Amen. So on the night that Jesus with his disciples, he broke the bread and he gave thanks. Jesus, we thank you and praise you. We thank you and praise you that you loved us so much that you came down, you lowered yourself to come down in this flesh and live with us. Because you loved us, you did that you could become that sacrifice lamb. And so in the next couple of days, as we see things and we just picture you as that baby lying in the manger, we just thank you. It reminds us of your love, your great love for us to come and become flesh, that you could become that sacrifice for us. We thank you and praise you. We honor you today and every day. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, let's come up. Everyone just come up. Take the elements yourself. Be seated. And then we'll partake together. So let's wait till everyone is served. But come on up and serve yourselves, if you would please.